Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. 70 miles north of the Dead Sea is the Sea of Galilee, and there were three prominent cities on its shores where Jesus did much of his earthly ministry. There was Bethsaida and Chorazin and Capernaum. It was in this area where Jesus spoke what is recorded to us in Matthew chapter 11, in which he included his great invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, even though the people of these cities rejected him, he invited them to come to him and to be blessed. And this is a great invitation for several reasons. And it's great because of its origin. Does it seem egotistical that Jesus would say, "Come unto me"? Now, no man has the right to extend such an invitation. But Jesus had already been acknowledged as a Son of God by the Father at his baptism, and he had already met and defeated the arch-enemy Satan by overcoming temptations against him. Yes, Jesus was conscious of his identity, but also aware of his ability to perform what he promised. The invitation given by him was different from all others. The invitation is great because who is included? All ye that labor. It shows it extended to everyone who is mentally capable of responding. Now, of course, this would exclude babies and any who are so mentally handicapped that they cannot understand. It was given to the weary, heavy laden, and burdened with sin. It was for those in need of rest from such things. And this would include all, inasmuch as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And this invitation implies that there are those who are away, who are aloof, who are separated, and who are apart from the Lord. They need to come to him. Now, they were not born alienated from God or totally bereaved, as the false doctrine of Calvinism teaches. They were not guilty of the sins of their ancestors, Adam or anyone else. Such as that is simply not taught in Scripture. But friend, the Bible teaches us that Jesus invites those who need to come to him to come to him and to be blessed. Now, people are not born guilty of sin. They're not born already assigned to heaven or to hell. This is an invitation that can be accepted or it can be rejected. Now, just here it might be noteworthy to note how the New International Version distorts Psalm 51 and verse 5 and has twisted it to make it read like David was born guilty of sin. It says, "sinful at birth, from the time my mother conceived me." Now, some have suggested the absurdity that the New International Version and the King James Version teach the same thing. Friend, that is not so. The passage in the New King James Version teaches that either David's mother was in sin or that David was born into a sinful world, the latter being the most likely. But it does not teach that David was born guilty of sin, either his own sins or the sins of somebody else. We're not guilty of others' sins. We're guilty of our own sins, and we shall not give an account for the sins of others, and we're not born already doomed and damned and hopeless and helpless. It's after we have sinned. The reason people are away from God is because of sin. Isaiah 59:1-2 tells us the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. We learn that the Lord teaches that he will save us if we come to him, but sin alienates us from God. It separates us from God. Sin, man is the one who has departed from God. Man is the one who must return to God. And it's useless to plead with the Holy Spirit to come and to save a person who will not come to Christ. You don't have to plead with deity to save one. Deity wants all men to be saved. But man must respond to the invitation of deity if he's going to be saved. The sinner must make that decision, and that includes me and you. God is willing to save. Christ is ready to save. The Holy Spirit beckons through the Word for one to be saved. But if man is saved, he must accept the invitation of Christ and come to Christ. And this is the reason the Apostle Paul persuaded. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. No, we do not have to persuade God to save us, because man must do the coming to Christ in order to be saved. And this is a great invitation because of the condition of the sinner. Paul gives us that gloomy picture of one who is in sin and who is a stranger from the promise of God. In Ephesians 2, he says he's alienated from God. He's hopeless. He's without God and the world. That's his condition when he is living in sin and apart from Christ. And men cannot be saved by their own intellect or by their own wealth or prominence or power. And they can't be saved by their own political preference or prestige. They won't be saved because of their ancestors. And dear friend, and this we need to learn, man cannot be saved by following the doctrines of men. And so many are putting forth plans of salvation that the Bible does not reveal. We must accept the invitation of Christ. And that call comes by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. Paul said he has brought the Corinthians by the gospel. In the book of Romans, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We are begotten or born by the gospel, 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. We either come to Christ, or we shall live our lives and die in sin and be lost eternally. But we can be saved because of the invitation of the Lord extended to us to be saved. Now, the very fact that Jesus extends the invitation implies that we have the power to accept it. He doesn't invite and then prevent us to accept it. We have the liberty to accept the invitation of Christ. We have the ability to accept it. This doctrine that one is born already doomed and damned and hopeless and helpless and he can't obey the gospel without some direct operation of the Holy Spirit, that's a false doctrine. Jesus doesn't invite people to come to him when they can't come to him. The Lord is not so cruel as to extend the invitation to salvation and then deprive man of the ability to accept it. We're not hopeless. We can respond. We're not totally dead and depraved, as Calvinism would have you to believe. We have the power of choice, dear friend. We can make decisions. God has created us in that fashion. And we don't have to wait until the Lord decides to save us by some direct operation upon us from the Holy Spirit. God has already acted on our behalf, has he not? He did that when he gave his only begotten Son. And friend, if one is lost, it will be because he rejected the invitation. Consider the invitation of Jesus Christ. He urges you to accept it. Jesus prayed over the city of Jerusalem, how he desired to save them. But what was the trouble? Christ said, I would, but ye would not, Matthew 23:37. This invitation emphasizes man's responsibility and man's accountability, as well as the desire of the Lord to save man. There's a yoke to be assumed, of course, in accepting that invitation, but that yoke is light and it's easy compared to the unbearable yoke and bondage of sin. Salvation is by the grace of God, but it also must be that man accepts the things that God has said he must do to benefit from that grace. This is a great invitation if we consider it properly. It's great because of what it offers. To what are the sinners invited? Well, we can receive relief from the burden of sin that condemns us. He leaves a life of hopelessness to a life of purpose when he accepts the invitation. He can gain heaven. He can know that when he comes, he will not be cast away, but he will stay in good favor with the Lord as long as he lives faithfully to Christ. Christ will lift the load that man cannot successfully carry by himself. Man will be freed from the woes of this present world and from the threats of the world that is to come. Man will receive this benefit in this life and also in eternity. In both instances, he will enjoy that abundant life of which the Lord spoke in John 10:10. You see, it's somewhat like an old mariner who has experienced many storms, and he will be comforted when he sees the other shore where there is safety. Those who accept the invitation will be filled with joy, a joy that others cannot understand. The one who comes to Christ may be compared to the soldier who comes home after the armistice is signed and lays his armor and uniform down and enjoys rest. N.B. Hardiman was a great gospel preacher in years gone by, and he composed the following paragraph. When our forms shall have bended low, when our cheeks have been furrowed by the finger of time, when hoary hairs bedecked our brows, and when we shuffle off all that is mournful, and the captain of our salvation bids us to stand on the quiet plains of a never-ending eternity, we shall come into that rest that passeth understanding, and we shall appreciate all of its fullness and what the Savior meant when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your soul." Dear friend, it's a wonderful thought to know that even though we sin and we alienate ourselves from God by that sin, that the Father is desirous that we be forgiven. He wants us to be forgiven. He is willing for us to be forgiven. He pleads with us to come to the one through whom we can receive this forgiveness. It's by and through Christ, and we are washed clean of sin by his shed blood when we obey the gospel in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, where we reach that saving blood. That's how and when we accept the wonderful invitation of Jesus Christ to come unto me, all ye that labor. Friend, we would persuade you to do that for your soul's salvation. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.